Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. I am Tawny Alvarez, partner at Farrell Dana in the Labor and Employment Practice Group, and I'm filling in for the one, the only, David Chulo. And we're here today with Sandy Verge, Senior Vice President of Human Resources and Customer Relations at North Country Associates. How are you today, Sandy?
I'm good, Tawny. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for coming in today. I'm really looking forward to having a conversation about generally what it is like to be the Senior Vice President of Human Resources for an organization your size with a multitude of locations throughout the state.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's start by telling our listeners kind of who you are. How long have you been in Human Resources and what do you do at North Country Associates?
So I have been in human resources for nearly 30 years, for the last almost 25 at North Country Associates. As a human resources leader at North Country Associates, I work with the managers mostly at all 25 locations on all human resource matters. And then I also serve as a resource to any of the facility staff who have questions about wages, benefits, those kinds of things.
So for an individual who's been in human resources for as long as you have, what would you say one of the biggest changes over the last decade has been that you've witnessed firsthand?
For us at North Country Associates, it's probably been the uptick of challenges presented around whistleblower retaliation. For the first probably 10 or 15 years at North Country, we rarely saw that, but it seems of late that is happening more often.
Would you say that's because of increases in regulations kind of towards your industry itself or general knowledge by individuals that it's a good way to protect themselves from an employment standpoint? Or, and I hate to be the cynic by saying like just to protect themselves, or truly there is more acknowledgement as to appropriate levels of care?
I actually think it's probably increased knowledge of individuals and communication amongst each other. In our organization, nearly everybody is a mandatory reporter. So often people are reporting something either to leadership or to an outside agency, whether it be the Department of Human Services or Adult Protective, if they feel say staffing is lower than it should be and they are not comfortable with the efforts that are being made, they may report that to leadership or to an outside agency. And at that point, they're automatically protected should there be an adverse action. And because of what seems to be this heightened awareness, people tend to go there when there's an adverse action against them.
I mean, you and I kind of jumped right into the heart of it without giving all of our listeners some background, but why don't you tell everyone what North Country Associates does and generally how many locations it has, how many employees, those type of things, so that people understand what we're talking about when we talk about mandatory reporters and the type of services you provide.
So North Country Associates is a healthcare management and ownership of facilities. We have 25 locations throughout the state and probably approximately 2,000 employees. The services we provide range from residential care services, long-term care, skilled care, as well as physical, occupational, and speech therapy services. So as you can imagine, the employees that work for us have some level of certification and licensure, which just by nature of that, they are required to report.
When you have an entity such as North Country Associates that has 25 locations throughout the state and that you're managing different forms of healthcare facilities so that you have physical therapists and occupational therapists, but you have all the way up to CNAs and LPNs, correct?
Correct.
So by having that broad of a range or diversity, what have you found is the best way to maintain a culture across all of those different entities to make sure that everyone has an expectation of who North Country Associates is and the expectation that they do report when they see things that they don't feel meets a certain standard?
I think the culture of North Country is one that we have worked really hard not to have a cookie cutter approach to each location. They're a member of the community that they're in. We find that each location has its own culture. Even we have a community that has two facilities, and even those two facilities are different in their own way. So we really do strive to make sure that the employees of that location feel comfortable in their environment. I think that's one of the things that makes North Country special. We have people who work for us and they leave and work for another company, and they come back often saying North Country just was a better fit for them because it's about people as opposed to the bottom line. So I think the folks that work within their own facilities develop their own culture based upon the community that they're a part of.
I think that's so important generally for every organization. I mean, as an attorney, I advise healthcare entities, I advise hospitality individuals or entities, and then also banks. And when we talk about how we provide advice to all of these different groups or entities in different industries, it's interesting because the law is a law. It doesn't change usually depending on what industry you're in. There might be additional regulations in some of these industries, but the law itself, the Maine Human Rights Act, the EEOC, ADA, Title IX, Title VII, all of those statutes, they don't evolve or change based off of the industry. But how we provide advice based off of what the organization's culture is so important. And oftentimes, culture and industry play a role together, I think, fairly significantly. How does that create a different dynamic in the work that you do, where you're looking at, okay, which entity is this? What's their culture like? If it was this group, I would probably say, let's take this analysis. Or how does that play a role in your daily mindset or thinking?
Well, I think the first thing that I look at when I'm advising a location around a particular issue is, are they a facility that is owned by North Country, or are they a facility that we provide management and consulting services to? The facilities that we do not own oftentimes have a different set of policies. So I have to first get my mind there as to what policies are we talking about as we're problem solving or talking about a way to handle a particular situation. And then for me, I think it just comes down to being approachable. There's probably not many people who would have a hard time picking up the phone, calling me, emailing me. So it's the relationships that I've built with those managers that I know their strengths. They know what kind of information that we are going to need to talk about before we talk. And we just have an open discussion about the best approach towards problem solving.
It's really great to hear that, and interesting because as we talk about more remote workforces and having people at a multitude of locations, one of the things that oftentimes people get concerned about, especially from an HR standpoint, is this out of sight, out of mind type of theory that, okay, if I don't have human resources in the facility or at the location, we're going to have no idea what is happening or going on. But what you've just alluded to is manager training and having that relationship with managers so that they understand, at least generally, where there's red flags or things that they have to be concerned about or focused on, or when they need to bring you into the discussion. Do you perform yearly manager training, or what is your focus to try to evolve that relationship so that they do feel comfortable coming to you with these type of issues?
We do have periodic management training for the managers at the locations who are making those day-to-day decisions. I would say, however, that more of the training that I have with managers is on a one-to-one basis, and it's happening as the issues are arising, because it's often something maybe that manager hasn't experienced and they want to feel comfortable before they tackle it. So we talk about it ahead of time.
I think that in the moment training and discussion about best practices and understanding the risks and possible issues moving forward is huge, because I'll give manager training all the time and I can talk about the Family Medical Leave Act. I can talk about the ADA, and it's fine in that moment. But when you're experiencing it firsthand, you're like, wait a second, I know there's something else I'm supposed to do, but what is it? And having that resource in a centralized human resource or, and a senior manager in the position to have the discussion and truly guide the on-site person, I think is so significant and important generally.
I would agree. The other thing that I find often is that the managers want to talk about what-if scenarios before it happens. So it gives them an opportunity to be more prepared, and then they're more comfortable handling that situation.
And do you find sometimes when you're having those what-if discussions that during the course of it, you start to receive even more information that you may not have received during that initial discussion? So you get that phone call and you get a handful of facts, all which are relevant and important. And then when you say, okay, I think we should, these are the things we should consider, and these are the steps we can take moving forward. And then during that discussion, the manager is like, oh, well, I'm really concerned about this because, and then there's this host of new facts that you're like, hold on a second, let's talk about why you have a concern that could be the avenue that this situation takes.
Yes, I would say that happens 95% of the time.
I find that is such an interesting aspect of people and their form of communication and discussion, especially concerning human resources issues, is that they're looking at it. I think people outside of human resources sometimes look at it in a vacuum. What is the situation currently at hand? Let's not take into account past behavior. Let's not take into account other people in the environment that's close to this individual. Let's just focus very minutely on this problem without understanding that so much of human resources is based off of the culture, which we've talked a little bit about, and then also the backstory about this position and what have we done in the past.
I would agree. And I think people who don't work in HR, the situation to them often seems black and white and obvious. Yet, as you lead that discussion a little bit more, you do find sometimes there are a few more red flags that you need to take into consideration.
And when people call you, how often would you say that they start with, well, it's an at-will state, so can't I just get rid of them?
That does happen often.
Yeah, and then to back everyone up and be like, you're right, it's an at-will state, but let's talk about all the issues and reasons why maybe moving down this path doesn't make sense. You had an individual who performed similar behavior. We had similar issues with 3 months ago, but we kept him or her on because of insert reason. Let's talk about why we did that and the effect it has moving forward. I think generally people forget that they're creating a precedent. Every single decision they make, it creates kind of a lasting effect within the organization, and understanding that is really important.
Yeah, it is really rewarding when that light bulb suddenly comes on for them to understand that they need to be thinking more about the bigger picture than just that one situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the speed in which kind of laws and regulations are evolving and taking effect, both at a national level and at a state level, and, you know, I'll add in there, and at a local level, honestly, how do you go about communicating those changes to your on-site management team without overwhelming them with so much information, or them simply choosing to turn off? I'm going to turn off HR. I just can't deal with all of this right now.
I have found that I think people are often eager to learn the new information because they want to do the right thing for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And with a company our size, oftentimes that method of communication comes down to creating or editing policy, sending it out with direction as to what to do with that and how that change impacts their environment. And then, if necessary, we may have some kind of conference call or a meeting if we need to.
During the course of those meetings, do you then sometimes find out or realize that, ooh, there are some gaps in what we're doing generally? And is it an ever-evolving process, or do you find that your policies and procedures stay fairly the same over time, and it's just minor changes that are occurring?
It is ever-evolving, more so from the standpoint that we encounter a situation and learn that perhaps there are some changes that could be made to the policy that either make it easier to implement and carry through, or really to change the policy to address the situation with the intent that we had.
And with North Country having all the different locations, the ones that it owns and manages, is there a change in the culture, in the handbook itself, in order to mix better with the culture at that location? Or do you use that one document without regard to kind of those differences in culture?
The handbook is different for owned facilities versus non-owned facilities.
Well, we're going to take a break. We will be back right after this on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
We're back. This is Tani Alvarez, and you're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. I am here today with Sandy Verge, Senior Vice President of Human Resources and Customer Relations at North Country Associates. We've spent the beginning of the program talking a little bit more about some of the issues that generally are experienced by companies that have multiple locations throughout a fairly vast state, and how we make sure that those policies and practices appropriately interact with the culture of each of the different locations. Sandy, I'd love to switch gears a little bit and talk about the thing that everyone knows is on the minds in the healthcare industry, and that is having sufficiently qualified candidates to perform the job that needs to be done. Is this, am I just making this up, or is this a need that you experienced at North Country with regards to finding the right people for the right jobs?
That is the greatest challenge that we have in our organization, as do many other healthcare organizations. It's a topic of discussion several times every day, mostly because we're facing a situation where a facility needs to staff the next shift and they're having difficulty doing that. And so we kind of brainstorm about how we might put the pieces together to make that happen.
For those of our listeners who are outside of the state of Maine, you may not be aware, but Maine has an extremely low unemployment rate, but we also have a very high percentage of an aging population. Isn't that correct, Sandy?
That is correct.
And when we have those two, I don't want to call them phenomenons, but I think it creates a phenomenon when we put it all together. It means that the healthcare industry itself is often experiencing one of the greatest pressures with regards to attracting the right candidates.
Correct. And for us, we're also faced with having a company that provides services to an aging population. So as that need gets greater, the amount of staff that we need to provide that service gets greater, yet the people aren't there to fill those vacancies.
And healthcare isn't something like hospitality where you're running a restaurant and you can simply say, no, I'm not seating half of the restaurant because I don't have sufficient staff to wait those tables. The healthcare industry is one of those kind of things where they need to get help somewhere.
Correct.
So there's definitely a need. It's just like, okay, well, we're just going to pretend this group of people don't exist this week because we have insufficient staff.
Right.
Is it just placing an ad online and crossing your fingers and hoping for the best? Or what kind of things is North Country doing? Or are you aware that other players in the industry are doing in hopes of attracting and retaining qualified candidates?
Well, we certainly do all of those standard advertising things that everybody does to try to get people interested in working for your organization. Backing it up a little bit, one of our challenges is that the people are not there, as I said. So most of our positions require some level of certification, some level of licensure. So it isn't as easy as hopefully finding somebody today that can start tomorrow or 2 weeks from today, because they need to have that credential. So we often talk about knowing that those people aren't there, to fill the need. Companies such as ours need to work to educate those folks and provide a path for them to gain that certification. So if we talk just about, say, CNA, Certified Nursing Assistants, that's a training course that's 180 hours. Oftentimes, we in the past have partnered with adult education programs and sponsored students to go through those trainings. However, we do run into situations where in a particular community there isn't enough people interested, so adult ed won't run a course because they don't have enough students. So we look to different avenues of providing that resource. We're working on, at this point, partnering with a company that provides some online training. They provide the theory online for the individual, while we would provide the clinical and lab piece through registered nurses at our locations. Again, just another means to an end for folks to get that certification.
I always like to pretend we live in this amazing fantasy world. Everyone laughs that I sugarcoat it all and it's all beautiful and there's like rainbows. I was the kid, back up a little. So I was the kid in high school who took like 4 years of art, but there was never anything moody or dull. It was always rainbows, butterflies, flowers, rainbow butterflies, flowers, right? Never really evolved past that. It was like, look at how happy and wonderful the world is, right? And then I become a lawyer. My whole job is to tell people all the things they can't do and how horrible things are and how much risk there is, which that dichotomy, I think, is hilarious. But let's say we're in this fantasy world that I love creating where you get everything you want. How do we fix this problem? I mean, is this a discussion that we're having with middle schoolers and high schoolers to let them know about this avenue of education moving forward, the ways in which the job itself works for them, that they could be working per diem hours, that they could have a lifestyle that fits within, I don't want to say a millennial mindset, but something where they're really taking ownership and also giving back and doing good? How do we start to communicate with individuals earlier in their life about the importance of this avenue as a career?
I think you pose a great question. I'm not sure of the best way to do that. The field is one that it really is about the person and what do they want to get out of the work that they do. It's not a field that people get into because they're going to make a lot of money and be wealthy because they did it. It's about caring for other people. So I'm not really sure how you get to that point where that interest is immediately where people go and a career path that they decide to follow because they want to help other people live a quality life.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think, so I work with a lot of different industry organizations, and I always find one of the most interesting things to talk about is engaging individuals, both who are already in the profession, who want to get into the profession, and to make sure that we don't experience burnout, especially in an industry such as yours, where, as you just said, it's emotional. It's about the desire to care for people. Do you find a higher rate of burnout or people who are able to say, you know, I just can't handle this emotionally anymore?
I'm not sure that it's any higher than other professions. Probably there are pockets of that. But I think there is this general perception that people who work in that field tend to take care of everybody else before they take care of themselves. So it's quite possible that they get to a point where it's just too much for them.
Now, you talked earlier about the fact that you're looking at and hosting online courses and then working with university systems or community college systems in an attempt to draw people in to receive these certifications and programs. When you do that, do you find that the people who participate in those programs stay with you for a longer period of time? Or in some situations, is that, okay, I've got the certification, now I'm going to move on?
I think they do stay for a period of time. Let's say maybe 12 months or so, for the most part. As I said about there not being enough folks to go around in our industry, there is a lot of hopping, if you will, to other locations for something that may appear to be more appealing. And ultimately, hopefully they come back to us because we provided a work experience that suited them better.
If you're just tuning in, this is Tani Alvarez and you're listening to HR Power Hour. If you're looking for another program, it's not this one. But we are talking to Sandy Verge, who is Senior Vice President of Human Resources at North Country Associates. We've been spending some time talking about culture generally and then also staffing issues generally within the healthcare industry. When people come back and they talk about why they're coming back, is it the culture? Is it who you are as an entity that is what's normally drawing them back into the organization?
That is definitely typically what brings people back, is the satisfaction they felt working in that particular location, how they meshed with their coworkers, how they appreciated the leadership at that location, and often the patients and residents that they care for.
One of the things that we talk a lot about generally is when we talk about attraction and retention is that salaries and benefits are something, but there's also a whole host of other aspects of the culture that I think people diminish the quality of what that benefit is. Are there special things that North Country Associate does, maybe at certain locations, that you've realized really has value generally? I know some organizations will do something like a star card where they're recognizing certain individuals throughout the course of the year or the month for just providing outstanding services generally, or other small tokens of thanks, whether or not it's bagels or donuts or those type of little things, or even, hey, here's a field day, or here's a special, we're all going to dress like clowns. That would be a little creepy. I honestly haven't heard of anyone doing that yet. I'm throwing it out there. If you do choose to have a clown day, please shoot me an email with some pictures, honestly. But I'm not recommending that either as a lawyer or a person in the HR field. But is North Country Associates doing anything like that?
I would say that each location, again, going back to them having their own culture, each location does have employee appreciation days. They have the ability to make that whatever they want it to be. Some have pizza celebrations, some have barbecues, some have prize days. I think it comes back to that culture of that organization and North Country's desire to make sure that everybody knows how important they are to the organization and that we're all people working together to make sure that we take care of the people who we serve.
When you are hiring or you're going through the applicant process, do you have more applicants lately who are asking to tour and to talk to people and to get a sense of those cultural aspects, especially in a field right now that really people have a lot of choices as they who they go and work for because there's such a great need? Are you seeing an evolution as to what applicants are looking for during the course of the hiring process?
I think for us, it's no different now than it has been, in that folks who apply for positions often already are familiar with somebody that work there. So our hope is that the people who work for us are comfortable and happy working there. They will share that with the person who's applying for a position, and they will get all that good feedback.
And do you do any form of referral bonus?
We do.
And do you find that is also helpful, and you see that fairly regularly, that is serving as kind of, I don't want to say that kick, but that little extra incentive for people to really talk about how much they enjoy working at your organization?
I do think it helps. And oftentimes, as managers, we talk about how much sense it makes to have our staff assist us in recruiting, especially now where it's extremely difficult to do so.
And not just that, but just thinking as to what makes good business sense. I mean, you're one person. I'm sure you have a staff and a team of other people who help in HR. But honestly, if you can have 2,000 other recruiters out there working for you and telling how amazing North Country Associates is, I think that's an invaluable resource.
I would agree.
Well, we are going to take a break. We will be right back after this on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
The best paints for the job site are at the Home Depot, specifically new Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer. It starts at only $23.98 a gallon. It's specially formulated to spray easier and cover walls faster. A lot faster. So you're done and on to the next job faster. Better paint means better jobs. New Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer starting at just $23.98 a gallon. You'll only find it in one place. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
We're back, and you're listening to HR Power Hour. I am Tani Alvarez, filling in for the great, the wonderful, the one, the only David Chulo. David, if you are hearing this, you only get this out of me four times a year, so pay attention. So we today are talking to Sandy Verge, Senior Vice President of Human Resources and Customer Relations at North Country Associates. And we have been talking about a whole host of different issues that are currently experienced both at North Country Associates and generally in the healthcare industry, specifically within the state of Maine. But I have a hard time believing that many of these issues aren't experienced nationwide right now.
I would agree.
Sandy, are you part of or a member of any national organizations or groups of people who are also in human resources in the healthcare field that are coming together to have some of these larger scale discussions about what the future of healthcare looks like?
Well, I think for us, our membership in the Maine Healthcare Association, which is our trade industry group, is really what we focus on spending our time working with them. They work with the legislature to try to affect change that will assist us in moving forward the way we need to provide, continue to provide great service.
I can't emphasize enough how much or how important I believe these industry-specific groups are. Having a place where groups or individuals can go and truly be fairly honest about the issues they're experiencing and coming together to collaborate and try to figure out ways that those issues can be solved. I laugh because I give a decent amount of presentations. If you've ever met me in person, you know that I'm really good at not shutting up. I can just talk and talk and talk and talk. That also might be why David sometimes invites me to do this generally. Maybe not. We'll find out later, I guess. So when we have collaboration between different entities and organizations, I see that collaboration as really helping the industry itself and also to give more voices to entities and industries about what the needs and desires are. And specifically, I see that as so important from a legislative standpoint because everyone comes at life only having dealt with their own issues and not recognizing or dealing with some of the other aspects of different industries and what the issues they are facing. Do you find that collaborative nature to help move the ball forward with a lot of the issues you're facing?
We do. The organization, of course, allows those of us in the industry who are most always experiencing the same things to not only talk about how do we fix it statewide, but what are some of the things that people have tried within their own organization that have worked to address the issues. Oftentimes, it really, when it gets to that level, we're at the point that we really need to have an organized voice to affect the change that needs to be affected.
So, I mean, I've been tiptoeing around it and talking about the legislature and statutes and all that kind of stuff. But let's get right to the heart of it. I mean, we've seen a significant increase in the minimum wage both this year and over the course of the last few years, and we'll continue to see it. Issues such as that, which I think is important. I'm not trying, please don't take any meaning of this as to whether or not I support it or I don't support it. But how does that affect an organization like yours where you see kind of these pretty substantial jumps in minimum wage right each year?
So how it impacts us is we have probably 70% of our residents are funded by MaineCare. When MaineCare provides funding for a resident's stay, they probably cover approximately 70 to 75% of cost. So when you have mandates such as increased minimum wage, we have a situation where we're already not receiving reimbursement for the expenses that are being put forth to provide the care. So it only compounds that problem. So it creates a situation where, of course, we comply. However, we comply as best we can within the confines of our reimbursement system, which leads to some wage compression issues both among positions and then among new staff coming in and those that have been with us for a long period of time.
Which that, when coupled with the fact that you're operating in an industry that recruiting people does definitely have some significant challenges at this point in time. I can only imagine the issues that creates from a staffing level.
Absolutely. But I hear from employees on a weekly basis at least about their concerns and thoughts around this wage compression that has been created with the minimum wage increases.
So it's almost this issue that when we heard and everyone was talking about minimum wage, there was really a focus on the hospitality industry or kind of generally some of the service industries and retails without this consideration of the reimbursable aspect of the work that you do as an organization. And the fact that with an increase in minimum wage, there wasn't any tying to an increase in reimbursement through MaineCare or other health-related statutes or programs.
That is correct. And we did work with our association, Maine Healthcare Association, to address that fact with the legislature. They did agree to fund some relief for that. But then again, we're back in that same soup because we have these annual minimum wage increases.
In addition to those annual minimum wage increases, I mean, recently, for those outside of the state of Maine, we passed a new paid sick leave statute. How will that new statute play a role in both reimbursable expenses and generally how the healthcare industry is going to respond?
Well, again, it comes down to having a mandate that will increase the expenses to our benefits without any funding to pay for that. We have staff that are referred to as per diem staff. Per diem staff are staff who have no set schedule necessarily. They're used to fill vacancies as a result of position openings, vacations, call-outs. But they don't get benefits, but now they will be a group of people, likely, that we will need to provide some kind of paid sick leave to, which is that additional expense that we will have to try to figure out how we're going to pay for that.
You also mentioned the fact earlier that, so in addition to the wage compression, in addition to the reimbursement issues, in addition to kind of this per diem stuff, I mean, you generally just have people who get burnt out of caring for others as well. Is that's correct?
I would agree.
So when we put all of this together, it truly sounds like a perfect storm, honestly, of a nightmare of keeping, retaining, and operating a facility that's focus is to provide the best possible care to aging or sick individuals.
And let me add to that, another challenge that we face is what we refer to as staffing agencies. So agencies that, if we're unable to recruit our own staff to fill positions, we then have to go outside to staffing agencies to try to fill these vacant shifts in order to meet the requirements that we need to meet for licensing as far as staffing ratios. Those agencies charge a lot of money, a lot more money than you would pay your own staff, and they tend to pay staff more money as well. So sometimes we're facing the situation where they hire staff away from us because they can pay more money, and then we have to pay them more money just to have our own staff back in our building.
And in addition to all the changes that we're experiencing at a state level, you also have to keep your mind consistently on the federal level and things such as non-compete agreements. We're seeing, you know, a really big backlash in that, which means that when you have staffing agencies that you're bringing in or who have access to your people, why wouldn't they leave and go make money and do the per diem or those type of things? And I know in Massachusetts, and we haven't seen it yet here in Maine, but we've seen much stricter regulations concerning non-compete agreements and watching and making sure that employers are limiting how often and when they're using these non-compete agreements in an attempt to keep or maintain staff that they have trained and work with and invested in, I think is the true word. So I would foresee, unfortunately, that in the next 3 to 5 years, it just gets even more difficult, which is really tough for me to say, considering this has been like a black cloud of difficulties that we've just spent the last 5 minutes talking about. There's no need for response there, but this is a good time for us to take a break. You're listening to HR Power Hour. We'll be right back after this on News Talk WLOB 100.5 and WLOBradio.com.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, You know, it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back. You're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. This is Tawny Alvarez, and we have been speaking to Sandy Verge, Senior Vice President of Human Resources and Customer Relations at North Country Associates. Sandy, with the title Customer Relations, too, I mean, we've been focusing a lot on the human resources aspect of things, and I know that it ties in, you know, fairly significantly with customer relations, but you're operating in a field that very specifically focuses on providing personal care to individuals. Have you had situations where you have patients or residents who are refusing care from an individual or a staff member as a result of his or her protected class?
We have had those situations, and not a lot, but a few. And we've been able to, of course, the first attempt we make is to try to talk through that situation to make sure we understand what it is that the resident is uncomfortable with. Once we are fully informed of that, we then can usually or always find a way to meet their needs without making them feel uncomfortable. For example, if there's a female resident who is not comfortable with a male caregiver caring for them, we have enough staff that we have been able to kind of change assignments so that resident is then comfortable and the staff member is okay with their new assignment.
I think it's really difficult, especially towards end of life issues, and it's something I've experienced personally with family members when we get towards end of life and we're looking for care generally and for pride or for other reasons, maybe don't. I mean, my grandfather didn't want a female caretaker and just only wanted a male caretaker. And figuring out things like that, when I'm looking at all the nurses, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I want to make sure he gets what he wants and it's the end of life. But at the same time, like, I don't mean to make everyone's life that much more difficult. So I find in this field, in the healthcare field, that adds a whole different dimension to it that makes it that much more difficult, making sure that we're respectful of our employees and of our patients generally.
I agree. But the beauty of the industry that we're in is that those caregivers are in that for the right reasons, and they understand and appreciate the dignity that they want to provide that resident, and they are always accepting of making sure that that resident is comfortable and getting the care that they need.
We've got time, I think, for one more question. I have to laugh because we're going to go back to my sugar-coated candies and unicorns and rainbows and flowers. And I always love to ask people, if North Country Associates, or if you don't feel comfortable speaking for North Country Associates and just want to talk for yourself, if it had a spirit animal, what would the spirit animal be?
I will speak for North Country Associates based upon my opinion. I believe it would be a Labrador Retriever, trained as a service dog, because I think of the loyalty, the friendliness, the fun, and just the eagerness to enhance the quality of life of the person that they're providing the service to.
I've got goosebumps. That was such a good answer. Sometimes people are like, a dog, because they listen. And I'm like, all right, we're gonna erase that. That's not your answer. This was an amazing answer. And I love it as a service animal, and knowing Labrador Retrievers and just how amazing they are. I think that is super great to hear. Sandy, thank you so, so very much for coming on today and for talking about your experiences in human resources, giving us more information about North Country Associates, and generally talking about the uphill battle that HR individuals in the healthcare industry are experiencing at this point in time.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
This is Tawny Alvarez, and you've been listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We hope you have an amazing rest of your day.
And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from VeralDana. Do you have a policy or practice with regard to providing references for former employees? Is it written down? Do all the managers in your organization know your policy and expectations? Making sure that managers know and understand an organization's policies and practices is extremely important. Most often, employees will not direct future employers to human resources, but instead will direct them to the individual's former direct supervisor. Has that manager received training and guidance as to what they permissibly can say and cannot say? If they are providing anything more than position and date of employment, have they received any verification that the applicant has given permission for the supervisor to discuss the candidate and his or her work quality? Does the manager generally know and understand the elements of a libel cause of action or a defamation cause of action? These are all important questions that you should be reviewing when creating and implementing an employee reference policy. Contact a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group if, after review of your current policies and practices, you'd like to discuss more.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.